It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. The National Park Service oversees the National Register of Historic Places. That's the official list of our country's historic places that are worthy of preservation. A little over 2,400 sites are in Wisconsin. We explore recent additions to the register with the Wisconsin Historical Society. Join in at 800-642-1234. Dinah Penkunas is State Historic Preservation Officer. Dinah, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much. Good morning.
Good morning. And just some clarification to start out. What is the difference between sites that are listed on the National Register run by the National Park Service versus our state register here in Wisconsin?
Absolutely. So it's actually part of the same process. Our process is to review properties for listing both in the state and the National Register. And they start out with our state review board, which reviews all of those nominations coming forward and then makes the recommendation to send them on to the National Park Service. So we get listings first in the state register, and then we move them on to the Park Service for listing in the National Register.
Oh, I see. So being in one, the National Register, or being in the state register doesn't necessarily mean you'll be in the National Register?
Well, we tried to make sure that the properties that we are sending through will end up that way. Yes.
Okay. And it's not just buildings, it's lighthouses and downtown districts that we'll talk about. Can you give us a sense of the range of things that can make it on the Wisconsin Register?
Yes. So we have bridges, we have shipwrecks, we have archaeological sites, we have parks, resorts. Places like our state capitol. So it's really anything that is a place, place-based history.
Hmm. How extensive is the research process and the paperwork to get on the official state register?
So you need to have enough information to make a case of why this is an important property. And of course, that's going to depend on, you know, the complexity. So if you have, for example, a lovely Queen Anne house that's being nominated because it's architecturally important, all nominations require you first to describe the property and then to make a case for what is called significance. So why is it important? How does it stand out in the community? And, you know, depending, again, on the property, how much research is going to be needed. So we tell people that, you know, they really should give themselves a year to get through the process.
Hmm. Are you seeing any type of backlog to keep up with applications for the register?
Yes. So we have about a one cycle backlog at the moment. Our board meets quarterly and we look at anywhere from 8 to 10 different properties. And so we're sort of operating at any time having about another 10 waiting in the wings. And as we process those, another 10 are coming in.
Well, let's get to these properties, starting with the Gonstead Clinic, which was recently added. The Clinic of Chiropractic, built in 1964, Mount Horeb. What is historically notable about this still operating chiropractic clinic?
So this this property, again, as you mentioned, in Mount Horeb, is interesting both, you know, as a work of architecture. It's, if you look at it in aerials, which we have on our website at wisconsinhistory.org, it looks like a spine. It's actually a fascinating building architecturally. But it's also important for its association with Dr. Gonstead, who really revolutionized the practice of chiropractic and introduced an entire new system of dealing with spinal pain. And, you know, this is the one where a lot of the history reading about it and really learning about the clinic and Dr. Gonstead, which makes it such a fascinating story. He saw about 200 patients a day.
Wow.
If you can imagine that. And worked about 20 hours a day seeing people who flew in from really all over the world to come to Mount Horeb, Wisconsin, to be treated by him. And he established clinics there are clinics all over the world actually that practice the Gonstead method. So there we go. In Mount Horeb, Wisconsin, something that really changed the practice of chiropractic medicine across the world. And that is one of those great stories that we're so happy to bring forward both to our board, but also to send to the Park Service and be able to share the story with everybody about the great history, both of chiropractic medicine, about the Gonstead Clinic, and Mount Horeb, Wisconsin.
One thing that seemed to be stressed in the Gonstead application is that the building is still highly intact. How significant is that for a building?
So it is one of the things that we look at for eligibility for the National Register. You know, properties still have to be recognizable for what they are. If we're looking at a building and saying, you know, I can understand, for example, if we're listing a school or an industrial building, you know, does it still have that characteristic of the period in which we're assessing its importance? And so with the Gonstead Clinic, you know, they've really maintained it almost the way it was left by Dr. Gonstead. You know, the photographs, you look at it, it's stepping back in time, even on the interior with the furniture and the finishes and all of the exterior features. So it is something that's important, but we're always really excited to see things that are really reflective of that period in which we're evaluating it.
Looking at new additions to the State Registry of Historic Places, we have Dinah Penkunas, who's the Wisconsin Historical Society's State Historic Preservation Officer. Let's move on to the Kewaunee Pierhead Lighthouse at the confluence of the Kewaunee River and Lake Michigan, now in the State Registry. What is unique about this lighthouse?
So lighthouses, as we can imagine, you know, anywhere along coastal Wisconsin, there's such important features of the landscape. And they tell, again, those important stories of both the maritime history of the state, but also the development of some of these coastal communities and the necessity for harbors and allowing ships to safely navigate into these harbors, such as in Kewaunee, which is a pierhead light. So it's really guiding boaters into the harbor. And these lighthouses are really reflective of, you know, the federal government's interest in creating a safe way of passage in the Great Lakes. And I was just looking this morning to see how many lighthouses we have listed, and we have over 30. Looks like this might be our 35th lighthouse listing when this is designated. So, you know, if we think about all those communities, we have lighthouses like this one, which are the pierhead lights. We have ones, you know, that are isolated on rocky outcroppings, others that are set more inland. So they all tell this wonderful story. And then just to think about the fact that, you know, a lighthouse such as this one, you know, it's close into town, but you had to walk along, you know, that very, very long pier there to get to the lighthouse. And people live there, lived on the light because you had to keep monitoring it and make sure the light was working and the fog signals were working. You know, most of them are now automated and there aren't lightkeepers, if you think about it.
That's what I found so interesting. I mean, this was built as a fog signal building, and now a modern automated fog signal and a fog detector are mounted on the lantern gallery. And
yes.
I was like, you know what, just shows how the old and the new can work together. Not a big deal.
Right. And the nice thing is that we still have that lighthouse, and it's such a symbol for the community of Kewaunee. You know, it is an identifying sort of landmark that that Kewaunee sees, you know, its identity embodied in.
Well, let's go to the Bangor Commercial Historic District now on the registry. This is the district in downtown, the village of Bangor, small community in La Crosse County. What is in this district of buildings?
So there are 20 buildings. It's two stretches of a downtown in, as you said, in a small community of Bangor. And this is representative of so many communities as well. So, but the specific case in Bangor, you know, this is where its downtown developed, where the services were. The railroad passed through. It was an agricultural support community. And so when we look at districts like this, it again helps to explain how these communities grew and developed. And this one is really interesting in that, you know, a lot of the buildings date, you know, from the early 20th century, like a lot of downtowns or late 19th, early 20th century. Bangor had a couple of fires, lost some buildings. They were replaced over time. And really, there are very few new additions. There's a new bank in the downtown, but It really is capturing, again, this what was a vibrant downtown in the turn of the century, and still remains the commercial core for the community of Bangor.
That's so wonderful, too. And how the it stretches from, you know, 1870s all the way, I think, to World War II. So it's a real,
yes,
it's a span.
Yeah. Yes, yes. And so, you know, as things change in the downtown, the newest building, you know, there's a modern bank, but the post-war building, there's a like the City Hall police station type of building that was built on the edge of downtown. So they kept everything within that core. And even as the nomination notes, the one modern building in the downtown is the bank, which did demolish two other buildings to build this new bank. But the fact that the bank remained in the downtown is also significant. You know, you're not moving out to the outskirts. You're keeping that important financial institution right in the core of the community on its main street.
We only have a few seconds left, but Dina, what do property owners gain from getting their property listed on historic registries?
So one of the big benefits for private property owners is the ability to use tax credits to support the rehabilitation of the buildings to help offset some of the costs. So Wisconsin has a number of tax credit programs administered by our office in the National Park Service. There are state tax credits if you own a historic house, and that is a 25% credit on exterior and systems work. You do have to have it approved by our office before you start, but it's a nice benefit. Mm. And then there are state and federal tax credits for income-producing buildings, and those are both 20%, both on the state and federal. So, you know, these downtown buildings in Bangor could apply for the income-producing credits. And again, those are to help rehabilitate and make updates or
maintain, too.
You know, yes. Improvements. Yes.
Dina, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely.
Dina Penkunas is the Wisconsin Historical Society's State Historic Preservation Officer. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.